starting on January 1st, new rules took effect governing a controversial property tax break used to incentivize business development. The change, which was adopted by state lawmakers this summer, comes after media reports around the state documented potential abuse of the program, known colloquially as the 485A exemption, in regards to the section of state law that this provision is tucked into. One of those reporters documenting the questionable use of the tax break was Tim Knaus of the Syracuse Post-Standard, who joins us now to explain how it was misused and how the program was reformed. Thanks for making the time, Tim.
Hi, David. Thanks.
So for starters, can you explain how this property tax break was designed to work when it was created in 2002 and how, at least traditionally, it's been utilized to spur development across upstate, including in your neck of the woods in Syracuse?
Yeah. So it was adopted by the state in 2002, and it was patterned after a property tax break that existed in New York City and was specifically targeting lower Manhattan in the early to mid 1990s. And, you know, the problem they had there was that a lot of the office tenants had moved out of the Wall Street area. They had a lot of underused commercial buildings, and they gave a very generous tax incentive for developers to invest in those properties and to convert them to mixed use, meaning they would retain some commercial operations, but the upper floors would be converted to residential units, either apartments or condos. So in 2002, led by then Assemblyman Brian Higgins out of Buffalo, the state legislature adopted a similar exemption for upstate cities. And it provides really one of the most generous tax breaks there is. It's the equivalent of 10 years of no property taxes on the improvements you make on the property. It's actually a 12-year exemption, but it phases out over the last 4 years. But the equivalent is 10 years. It's an example of a really well-intentioned law that had some big successes, especially in Syracuse, but also it was so loosely defined that it was open to abuse and also very inconsistent application. In Syracuse, which is where I'm most familiar with it, it sparked a lot of downtown revitalization. There were some big landmark Syracuse properties like the State Tower Building and the Syracuse Savings Bank Building that were renovated and brought back to life, and it was very helpful. But it was also abused pretty flagrantly. So what we started reporting on, and this goes back now to 2018, were a couple of different ways that developers really bent the rules. So to get the exemption, the property is supposed to end up as a mixed-use property, meaning it has both commercial and residential uses. But there was no detail provided on the amount. So one of the properties we reported on in 2018 was a big 134-unit apartment building that had three vending machines in the lobby. And the vending machines were what the developer was claiming as their commercial use.
Yeah, I thought that example that you highlighted was pretty egregious back in 2018. And I mean, it seems, though, that the assessor in that case, though, refused to accept what they were saying. And the complex had to actually add a small street level retail space, which I think eventually became a beauty salon. What was it, though, I mean, that made Syracuse push back? Was this about some of the reporting that you and your colleagues in Syracuse were doing? Or did the local officials there just sort of take it upon themselves when they saw some of these shenanigans that were going on?
Well, in that particular case, they did push back even before we reported on it. Mm-hmm. And they had, you know, they had urged the developer they basically converted a street level utility area into a small retail space, because otherwise the city was not accepting the vending machines as a commercial use. The problem is that once you qualify for the exemption, there's really no year-to-year checks to make sure that you're still in compliance. That's one of the things that the legislature reformed in the new legislation. The other kind of abuse that we found, this we reported on this in 2019, was the idea of this law was to renovate old buildings and put them back to use. The biggest projects in Syracuse by far haven't renovated old buildings. They've demolished them and just built new buildings. And again, they that was something that the Syracuse Assessment Office did allow. The reason they allowed it was the original law was worded so vaguely that city officials didn't feel like they had strong legal grounds to deny the exemption. So here's how the 2000 law was worded. Non-residential real property upon conversion to mixed-use property shall be exempt. And that's all the guidance.
Conversion.
So conversion in Buffalo, they allowed developers to build on parking lots. On the theory that was converting a commercial property to mixed use property. And in Syracuse, they didn't feel like they had enough legal basis to end up in court and have to argue that demolishing a building wasn't converting it.
So prior to the state taking actions that are designed to curb abuse of the program, the Syracuse City Council tried to change things on their end. Can you explain what they did?
Yeah, they passed an ordinance, I guess it was late last year, December 2019, that it gave the assessor basically the ability to deny that last exemption I talked about, where conversion was actually demolition and building anew. But they also, in that legislation, asked the state legislature to tighten up the state law.
Well, and speaking of the state law, which is now has changes that took effect earlier this month, you mentioned the annual certification that the property is going to comply with the requirements, but can you highlight some of the other safeguards that are being put in place to prevent future abuse?
So they added some more specific language about what constitutes commercial use, including that it has to be a commercial use that is open to the public. But more importantly, they put limits around how much you could demolish the old building. So as of now, when you convert a building, you have to retain at least 75% of the existing building as part of the renovation. And you have to devote at least 15% of the floor space to commercial use.
That's a lot of vending machines.
Right. And at least 50% of the space has to be residential. And again, I think you know that was the spirit of the original law. And I whether these new requirements are so specific that they're going to now inhibit investment, I don't know. The other thing, actually, very important part of what they did this year is, as you said, every year they have to certify that they are meeting the requirements. And if they fail to meet the requirements, or if the assessment office feels they're being misleading, the penalty is that they have to go back and repay all the taxes they avoided during the entire 12-year, however much of the 12-year term they've already had. And that can be a lot of money. The biggest projects in Syracuse, you know, over the 12-year term of the exemption are, you know, saving as well. The biggest one is going to save about $17.9 million over that time.
In researching this issue, it appears that your reporting really drove some of the changes to the program at the city level in Syracuse. And it was a Syracuse area lawmaker, Bill Magnarelli, who subsequently championed reforms at the state level. So how does it feel to see your work play this sort of meaningful role in positive change?
Well, that's gratifying. There's also been the Albany Business Review did some reporting on this, and even before we did.
Yeah, Mike DeMasi.
Yeah, Albany had a real mess because the assessment office there didn't really apply the law correctly, and they hired a big law firm to kind of go back and review whether the exemptions they had given to people were legal. And in Buffalo, there was a kind of an advocacy group, and they did a big report too, complaining about how how it had been abused in Buffalo. Syracuse and Buffalo really have seen the majority of investment from this program. And I should add, by the way, that it's a state law, but in order for it to take effect in a particular municipality, the municipality has to adopt it. So the last I knew, which is probably 2 years ago now, there were only 18 municipalities in the state that had adopted this tax exemption.
Well, we've been speaking with Tim Knaus. He is a reporter with the Syracuse Post-Standard. Tim, thank you so much for making the time, and congrats on the work.
Well, thanks for having me, David. I appreciate it.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.